The Chris and Amy Show is sponsored by Gingerbread Architects. Building dreams, one cookie at a time.
It's the most wonderful.
Chris Ronji, Amy Mark scores with you on this Christmas week. And this is actually my last day on the show until after Christmas. Then you'll be holding down the fort.
Yeah, no days off for me, pal.
Yeah, until New Year's. Then
well, that's
then
different.
It's all the days off,
that's,
and I'll be
different.
Holding
hey,
down
come
the
on,
fort.
Okay, hey, you know what?
It's a tag team.
I'm here. This is my gift to you.
Thank you.
Coming into work this week.
And my gift to you is coming into work next week.
Well, that Christmas is over then.
Yeah. Well, anyway, we are going into the new year.
Wait, are you working with me Monday and Tuesday?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, okay. I'll
and then you're
too.
Gone, and then I'm the rest of the week
That's
holding
right.
down the fort.
That's right.
While Chris Ronji gallivants about town.
Yep.
Probably got to find him in some gutter somewhere on New Year's Day.
Really? God willing. what is the phrase? Good Lord willing and the creek don't rise?
Yeah.
That's it.
There you go. Really hope it doesn't rise.
Yeah,
if, you're
well,
in the
if I'm in the gutter,
yeah, that would
that'd be bad for
the
me.
The worst time to be in the
Dude.
Gutter is when the creek rises. But we're looking into the new year, and I know a lot happened in 2024, and it was very political.
Such
and
as
the people are very emotional and stressed out and whatever. And we're still looking at potential appointments. The Matt Gaetz ethics report was released. Not great.
Mm.
Not great. There was a missing GOP congresswoman who hadn't been around for votes for 6 months. And so a local news reporter thought, this can't be right. So she kept calling the office and calling the office. It went straight to voicemail for this missing GOP congresswoman, Kay Granger, a Texas Republican. The investigator found her in a senior care facility with dementia, but she hadn't resigned her seat in Congress. She had just been absent for 6 months. So I'm thinking, how does this happen? And of course, people have feelings about politics. The only reason I bring that up is not to poo-poo the Christmas week. It is a new YouGov poll out asking people, do you feel hopeful for next year or discouraged? 57% of people feel hopeful. 23% feel discouraged. Now, it was, as you would imagine, a bit broken down by partisan lines.
Sure.
So 85% of Republicans felt hopeful, 49% of independents feel hopeful, and 38% of Democrats feel hopeful. So overall, it's 57% of people feel hopeful, 23% feel discouraged. And I actually do feel hopeful, because what I don't want to do is stress and overreact to things that haven't happened yet. I think what we can do is hope for the best, like Michael Kelly, John Hancock have said, like, we're Americans and you want the country to do well. So even if there's a messenger or someone that you don't like in politics, maybe they can do some good. That's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping, I do feel hopeful going into 2025. And again, if you want to chime in, we'd love to hear from you.
I think the only option is to be hopeful that it does go well, but mm-hmm. also be prepared for it not to.
I mean, that's fair. And I think that's probably fair for life in general.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I said, I think there are some appointments, there's some issues that I'm hoping for. And what's interesting is, and tell me if you agree with this. I was driving in today and I was thinking about this poll, and I do feel hopeful about the country. Maybe it's because nothing's hit yet. I don't know. Maybe it's the Christmas miracle, but I feel hopeful about the country in general. And I realized right now I feel more hopeful about the country in general than I do about the city of St. Louis specifically. I feel a little down because of whether it's the Ted Drews thing or crime or just listening to local news or the St. Louis public schools. I felt kind of down, but I do, if I had to ask myself honestly, I feel more hopeful that some good things might happen in our country, but I feel a little down about the city of St. Louis. How do you feel about those two things?
That's great. For the city of St. Louis, let me start there. I don't have the confidence that there's any massive leap forward mm-hmm. that's going to take place. I think incrementally we might see some improvement over the next year or two, maybe. My overall feeling about the city is I just don't feel like there are enough people. Because the one thing that will improve St. Louis is if enough people feel like they have a vested interest in it doing better, and that pool of people that really wants St. Louis to do well and not just play partisan, this city's failing because it's all Democrats, or, you know, the Republicans are keeping us from having gun laws that will protect people. If that's all we're doing, we're not going to make any progress whatsoever. And it makes me feel discouraged mm-hmm. that there just aren't enough people who care enough about the city other than to either complain about it, or really that's it, actually. It's just people who don't live in the city want to complain about how bad the city is, but then they don't really want to do anything to help it other than just complain about it. Because so many people have left St. Louis over the decades, and I'm talking St. Louis proper, it makes me feel discouraged that there just isn't a large enough community of people who really truly care about moving the area forward. So that's where my discouragement is. Will that change? I don't know.
Yeah.
I hope so. I can't see it changing anytime soon, but I think we could have some incremental improvements. As for the country, I think we're already in a pretty good place. We have been. Mm-hmm. I know that people have been complaining about the last 4 years and it's all been a disaster. It hasn't, especially coming out of a pandemic and how economically damaging that was to the world, to the entire developed world. It was a massive problem, and we have done better than almost every other developed country. So I feel like in that way, we're already pretty good. What discourages me mm-hmm. is some of the unelected people who have been tasked with making major changes, which might be more difficult for them than they think it's going to be. And I'm talking about Elon mm-hmm. and Vivek. I don't like the fact that two unelected people have this much influence. Now, it's not that presidents in the past have never had their own advisors or people that they lean on, but I don't really know that I like two billionaires who I don't believe have my interests or your interests in mind making decisions about what programs we should keep, what organizations we should still have, what's good for people and what's not good for people, because my thinking is what they are interested in is what's good for their interests personally and not the rest of us.
And I think, and I feel a little, burned out, because I get that with Elon and Vivek. I feel that way about the city of St. Louis and the St. Louis public schools. I just can't imagine stealing from kids. It just blows my mind. And I feel down that our leaders can say all the right things, and they do. They say a lot of the right things, and they're just really either bad at their jobs or they're not trying or whatever it may be. But I fear we're going to blow this once in a generation opportunity with the $500 million that we have. And that makes me sad.
I don't know for sure that's going to happen, but it's not off the table.
Yeah.
And I do feel like there are a lot of people in St. Louis. Well, OK, there are people in St. Louis who have good intent mm-hmm. and they really do want the area to move forward and the region to move forward. But I almost feel like there just aren't enough of those people.
Yeah. And I don't know. And like I say, with the country, I know obviously being a conservative, even if I really hate some of the messaging or the messengers, there probably are some cultural issues that I agree with more, right? I'm a Republican on the Republican side that I hope that we kind of shore those up. And I know that's probably where you and I disagree the most are some of those issues. But so in some ways, I feel hopeful. I feel a little nervous or apprehensive about how that actually goes down. But yeah, I think the best thing you can be is hopeful, because I am still so grateful that we live in the United States. And I hope that that free speech continues to thrive and that you can have disagreements and we can balance each other out. And because it is, I am grateful to be here. And so I think you have to be hopeful, but also know, all right, well, we can be prepared, but we can be hopeful.
Just a little sidebar, and you started the segment by talking about Kay Granger, who is the Republican congresswoman who's been missing for 6 months. It really speaks to the nature of how chaotic and disorganized the House is.
There's a person
that nobody has heard from and hasn't voted on anything for half a year, and it's just like, well, that's how that goes. It's wild, but that's the nature of the House of Representatives, I guess. But it is also disturbing that her people did not say, "Hey, we got to do something." She's in a home right now. She's not actively going to work, but clearly losing it a little bit.
Yeah.
She's in a home.
And what's weird too is like it's not like they were afraid she was going to lose her seat. My understanding is that's going to stay a Republican seat.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like, well, we can't let the Democrats have it. It was, why didn't anybody tell
where she was?
Where she was.
Yes.
And then you couldn't get a hold of her. And
there was no staff at her office.
How long would that have gone on if not for that local reporter? You know? And so, and again, I love the wisdom that comes with age, but it also does shine a light on like Mitch McConnell, Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, this woman, where a little bit of a...
I wouldn't put Pelosi in that because she doesn't appear to have lost it.
No,
you may not like her, but...
Oh, sorry. Well, I guess I mean...
Feinstein, somebody like that.
Someone has said it's like a gerontocracy.
Yeah.
And it does feel...
That's different.
Yeah, it does feel that something's off.
That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ranji. Tell us what you think on the Odyssey app. Leave us a voice message. Just tap that record button and send it to us. It's Christmas time, baby. Happy Festivus. It's Chris and Amy on KMOX.
There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago.
I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it. You.
Lost my train of thought.
I've got one. He's Chris Ranji. I'm Amy Markscores.
Oh.
And we do want to continue to hear from you on this wonderful Christmas Monday.
It is, December 23rd is Festivus.
It is Festivus.
So.
The Festivus for the rest of us.
We're celebrating today.
My dad loves Festivus. Hey, I do want to...
Do you guys have a pole? Do you have an aluminum pole in your house?
Your
parents?
In the unfinished basement. You got the support beams.
Well, that's not the same.
It's a pole, though.
It's got to be an aluminum pole.
Well, it's not aluminum.
No.
Is that what strippers are on? Aluminum poles?
I don't know. It's probably brass.
Brass?
Yeah, the ones I go to looks like brass. I don't know. I have no idea. What's the best pole to slide? That's what the firemen, don't they slide down a brass pole?
Oh. If you're a fireman... What is your pole made of?
Yeah, tell us what your pole's made of if you are a firefighter. Doesn't matter what part of the city.
This says tapered bronze or stainless steel alloy.
Bronze makes sense.
Bronze, yeah.
Yeah, bronze makes a lot of sense.
Well, can a Festivus pole be stainless steel if you're doing well for yourself? Or does it have to be aluminum?
Frank Costanza said aluminum.
I like aluminum.
So I think you kind of have to stick
with it. We also do want to still hear from the firefighters. If Dennis Jenkerson's listening, chief of the St. Louis Firefighter Department, fire department, what kind of poles do they have?
We'd love to know. I got a job you could probably do it, I guess, if you wanted. If things don't go well here for me, I have a new job for myself.
Okay.
It's seasonal. It's seasonal, though. That's the problem.
Lettuce. Agriculture.
No.
Oh.
I could be a mall Santa.
Oh.
Did you know, and ZipRecruiter has released numbers for how much money a mall Santa makes per hour. Would you like to guess, Amy?
Yes. $17.
A typical mall Santa will make, on average, $24 an hour. And I think that's actually kind of low. I think you deserve more. You got all these kids sitting on your lap and parents
probably
and
will get
weird
sick.
And you're going to get sick.
Because you're right there.
Children
you're right
are,
there.
They're disease vectors, you know?
They're coughing on you, slobbering.
Coughing on you. I mean, it's just not worth it to me.
God love them, but you're probably going to get a cold.
$24 an hour. That is according to ZipRecruiter. Mm-hmm. Now, Do you want to know, and I know you do, the top 10 cities that you can live in America where you can make the most as a mall Santa?
Yes.
Number one, take a guess what state it's in.
California?
No. However, I'll get to that in a moment.
Okay.
It is Green River, Wyoming. If you live in Green River, Wyoming, you can make $4,800, almost $4,900 per month as a mall Santa. The hourly wage is $28.23.
Wow.
Now, the next nine cities that are at the top of the list are all in California.
Yeah.
San Mateo, San Francisco, Santa Clara is on the list, Fremont, Berkeley, San Jose. So if you want to make a lot of money as a mall Santa, you have to go to California or Wyoming. However, if you live in California, the price of living is pretty high.
Right, right.
So you have to keep that into account.
This is crazy. It says some mall Santas make $45 an hour. You know where the money is, though, for Santa. You got to be a private Santa. Not like, not a private, like, hey. I mean, just like, you got to have your own company where you have your own custom, really special Santa suit, right? You're not just putting on the mall suit that the mall has. I mean, you make it your official side gig. You have a custom-made suit. You have a perfect beard. You make sure you have the right body type for Santa, right? Where, because you got to be portly. That's what Santa is.
You got to be puffy.
Yeah, you got to be puffy, portly. And then you say, like, I'm a specialty Santa, and you can go to people's Christmas parties. You can go to work parties, events. I think that's where you could charge $100 an hour.
Could I be a sexy Santa? What if I wanted to do that?
Well, I feel like it would be, you'd have to.
Yeah. I'm not doing anything illegal.
Is this
just
why you're asking about the
Santa.
Fireman poles?
No.
Is that a chimney? You come down a fireman pole?
Yes.
Swinging and looking fabulous?
Yeah. I don't think that's... That's what most firemen say. I just want to look fabulous. Firefighters.
Oh my gosh, that's why... Listen. I am like Private Benjamin, like Goldie Hawn. I could never join the military. I am too weak. Physically, mentally, and emotionally. Our military, I have the highest regard for them for all that they do. I know I am too weak, but I love the white Navy outfits.
Pretty sharp.
I would feel pretty special in those.
Now, I would have felt pretty not special had I been in A Few Good Men.
Well, I know.
That was
Jack
that was
Nicholson called you names.
Oh, God.
That was his
it
fault,
was brutal.
Though. But the Navy white uniforms, they're so sharp.
It is crisp.
It's very crisp.
But I think the Marine dress blues are the nicest.
I really feel like a lot of the military dress uniforms are so sharp. I would feel so cool. But also I would be stolen valor because I don't have any strength. I'm a poor excuse for a soldier because I'm not a soldier.
Could be a mall Santa, though.
I probably could.
That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ronji. Paul Goldschmidt has a new team. The Bragging Rights game happened yesterday. We'll get Matt Pauly's thoughts on all of it when we come back on KMOX. Wait up for you, dear
Santa baby. This is America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
The pitch to Goldie. He swings and he hits a high fly ball. That's deep. Center field. Back to back home runs. Nootbaar, now Goldschmidt. Goldschmidt's 22nd of the year, 2-0 Cardinals.
Yo, Paulie!
Paulie's a great man.
Yo, Paulie! What'd you do for Paulie? Anything?
Me, Paulie! I was responsible!
Paulie, we're here because of you!
Well, we knew it was going to happen. We knew Paul Goldschmidt was going to play for somebody else next season, but now we have an answer as to who that will be. This report with Matt Pauly on this Monday morning is brought to you by Renner Garage Door, R-E-N-N-E-R, forward and back, family-owned and top-rated, RennerDoorSTL.com. Matt Pauly joins us today. So, Paul Goldschmidt to the New York Yankees. We'll see him in pinstripes next year. How's that sound to you?
Yeah, you know, 1 year, $12.5 million deal. If he does not perform, the Yankees are going to be okay. If he does, that's a really good deal at a pretty solid number from a New York perspective. I think he is somebody who his batted ball data. And I know there's already people who hear me say that, and they're tuning me out because people are concerned about baseball card numbers. And I get that. At the end of the day, you want somebody who hits home runs and drives in runs and all those sort of things. But the underlying data can provide insight into if somebody's lucky, unlucky, things like that. And the batted ball data for Goldschmidt was still pretty good. His bat speed was fine. Contact, when he made contact, it was good. His problem was he was taking pitches right down the middle. He was swinging at stuff outside of the zone. Kevin Wheeler brought up the other day to me, and it's a good point. He really struggled with changeups this year, and that's something that he hadn't really struggled with previously. So I think there's a very good – I don't think we're going to see – 2022 National League MVP Paul Goldschmidt, but I think there's a very good, legit opportunity for Goldschmidt to have a very solid bounce-back season. And look, he wasn't terrible last year with the Cardinals. He just wasn't great at the same time. He still led the team in home runs. I think it's a good signing for the Yankees.
But this is what's intriguing about the situation. This will be the first time that he goes into a lineup and he is not the guy in the lineup. He's going to be one of the guys, but you've already got Stanton and why is his name escaping me right now?
Guy named Aaron Judge.
Aaron Judge. Yeah. Jesus. Aaron Judge, yeah. Like, so you've got these really great hitters already in the lineup. Like, whatever he does is just kind of it's I don't say it's going to be a bonus to them, but he is not expected to carry that lineup, so I wonder if some pressure is actually taken off of him a little bit.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where they bat him in that lineup and what they, you know, they don't have Juan Soto anymore, and Soto right. Really helped out, you know, in terms of, you know, Judge having protection and all those sort of things. So we'll see what ends up happening. He and Judge have a pretty good relationship. There was something written a couple years ago about them spending some time talking, hitting, and things like that. So those guys get together pretty well. So I think that's probably something that drew him to New York as well.
Well, it'll be interesting and good for him. Hope he does end up doing well there. Any feeling, or are we getting closer to knowing where Nolan Arenado might end up?
Any prognostication that I do on this has just been wrong. So because I really thought that this would be done by now and by Christmas and by New Year's, and I'm not sure. You read some things out there. The fact that Goldschmidt does go to New York, I guess, according to some reporters, puts the Yankees more as a possibility because Arenado would be a lot more comfortable with the Yankees with Paul over on the other side of the infield like it's been in St. Louis. The Yankees... If we go back to the audio tape to, you know, around the winter meetings time and even before, the Yankees were always the team that I thought that Arenado was going to end up on. And then as time moved forward and we started hearing some other things, I started thinking about some other teams. But I'm going to go back to what I said when this whole thing got started, that I think Arenado ends up as a Yankee, and that's what I'm going to stick with for now.
Matt, do you think there will be any Christmas Day trades or signings or even Christmas week? Because, I mean, sometimes there are. It hasn't been super big recently, but in the past there have been some big trades.
I don't think anything will happen on Christmas Day. That's that it generally doesn't happen, but the day after Christmas, sure, Christmas Eve, things can still happen. It's been a busy day today. Walker Buehler's in with the Red Sox, Jock Peterson in with the Rangers, Andrew McCutchen's going back to the Pirates. Was the Shaman ideal today, or was that yesterday? Anyway,
heard about it yesterday, I feel.
Okay, all right. But, I mean, the point being, there are some things happening today, and more could end up happening before all is said and done.
So, Matt, just real quick, to follow up on Arenado, there was that report from Mark Feinsand and John Denton, who said that there was a potential deal for Arenado and Marcus Stroman, who possibly end up here with the Cardinals.
I don't think that happens. I would be shocked if Stroman... Is this Stroman's
last year,
though?
Well, the Cardinals allegedly declined it, according to the reporting. Yeah.
So is this Stroman's last year on his contract? I'm looking it up real quick.
I don't know.
Okay, so the only thing, Stroman... he's got a vesting thing for 2026.
It's a player option. Yep.
Player option kicks in with 140 innings. But I mean, the player option's at $18 million, so he would probably pick that up. If there was just a flat 1 year left on his deal and you're getting rid of Nolan Arenado for 3 years and you have to pick up 1 year of somebody else, there's probably a way to make that work. Maybe you send less money with Arenado, because like that Astros deal, reportedly, the Cardinals are going to pick up somewhere between $15 and $20 million. I don't – the Strom – that 2026 vesting – player option with 140 innings pitched in 2025 at 18.3, it feels like he would pick that up. So that would scare me off more than anything. I could stomach 1 year to get out from underneath 3 years on the other side, but I don't think I could stomach 2 years, which is probably what this contract would turn into.
Matt, there was reporting that the Cardinals would be willing to pick up some of Arenado's salary so they could get a greater return. How much do you think they would be willing to?
I think that 15 to 20 is probably the max amount, and I don't think you're going to get that much of a return, even picking up $15 to $20 million.
The Bragging Rights game happened yesterday. It was a close one. The Fighting Illini beat Mizzou at Enterprise Center, and as Amy and I talked about right off the top of the show, that game is usually fun. Sometimes it gets out of hand a little bit, but you've got two teams fairly evenly matched, and even if they're not, it feels like most of the time that game is exciting and that game is close, being in a neutral building. What did you think of yesterday?
Fantastic game. Illinois is really good. Missouri's not bad at all. So that was a fun day. I wish it was a night. There's something about that game. I wish it was like a Friday night or a Saturday night. The
yeah.
Sunday afternoon mm-hmm. thing doesn't do a whole lot for
at
me.
At noon on a football Sunday, not a fan.
Yeah. Yeah, didn't like that part of it. But outside of that, because I remember going to those games and just, you know, 8 o'clock start on a Friday night and you're able to go have dinner beforehand. And, it's an event. Like, that's one of those things that is just an event, and it kind of loses its event status by being on a Sunday afternoon. I really like both these teams, especially Illinois. I think Illinois is really, really good. And I think they're a team that could potentially have an NCAA tournament run in them. It's been fun to see Missouri bounce back. I mean, obviously, they have their one big rivalry win this year, knocking off Kansas. They're 10-2. They haven't played a whole lot. Like, their opponents outside of Kansas and Illinois leaves maybe a little bit of something to be desired. But that's a good day. That's a good day of college basketball, and it's good for the region when both those teams are good.
Matt, are you watching the Myrtle Beach Bowl right now? I think it's on.
I'm not. I should. And here's why I say I'm not, with like that embarrassing that embarrassing tone. I'm the guy that loves like the current bowl set. Like, so there's so many people just want to get rid of bowl games, and I like the fact that there's always football on this time of year, and I love the fact that you got these seniors who are playing their final college football game and they get to experience something a little bit different. I love that fan bases have a different place to be able to go. So I feel like if I take that that approach on the bowl system, mm-hmm. I'm like morally obligated to actually watch these games.
Yeah.
And no, I am not currently watching the Myrtle Beach Bowl, where Texas San Antonio has a 21-0 lead against Coastal Carolina.
I've got good news for you. There's still time. You have not missed the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. That's at 1:30.
I like the Potato Bowl. Yeah, that's you see, I used to work in the Mountain West Conference, so any bowl game that has a Mountain West tie-in or is in a Mountain West city, I am a fan of. So let's go Potato Bowl.
See, and I'm a fan of any bowls that involve potatoes. So this one's my favorite.
So like in the Venn diagram, there we are together on the potato bowl.
There you and I are holding hands.
How do you feel about the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl, which will happen on New Year's Eve?
Cheez-It Citrus?
Cheez-It? So the Citrus Bowl has been a thing for a long time. It is sponsored by Cheez-It.
Yeah, but
it's the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl.
Citrus Curdles dairy products.
That's
you can't put cheese and citrus together.
Well, they've done it.
Unbelievable.
Well, I mean, I think it's an interesting game. South Carolina was really, really good.
That's, is that what you're asking? Illinois is in that.
Yeah,
game.
It's in Illinois, right? Yeah. Are you asking me about like the name of the bowl or about the two teams that are participating
Both?
In the bowl? Okay. To Amy's point, yes, Cheez-It Citrus Bowl sounds funny when you break it down and understand that it's just the Citrus Bowl and happens to be sponsored by Cheez-It. You get it, but when you hear it all together, it sounds like, what's that new citrus flavored Cheez-It? What's that? But in all seriousness, Illinois had a really good year. I don't know if this is the matchup that they want to have, because if South Carolina plays at all like the way they played down the stretch of the season, they'll probably win the game. I mean, they're a 10-point favorite in this contest for a reason. South Carolina, when we were doing that thing at the end of the year, making arguments for college football playoff, if you were going to go based off which one of the teams that you were looking at were playing the best football at that moment, I think you would have chosen South Carolina. Obviously, that's not how they viewed it.
Okay, so we've seen, speaking of bowl games, the playoffs have already started. It's a 12-team playoff now. That's new for this year. And there were some blowouts in the first round, and the reaction has been... The reaction has been, see, there shouldn't be 12 teams because look at all these blowouts. These other teams didn't deserve to be in. Is that a valid argument?
No, it's not. I think, first off, blowouts happen. Go look at the scores of most national championship games. We don't get great national championship games very often, and those are almost always the clearly the top two teams in the nation. Now, are there some things that they could do to clean this up a little bit? Yeah, like the system they have for the top four teams getting byes, needing to be conference champions, where those are not clearly the best four teams in the nation. That's a little bit wacky, and then that messes up the bracket from there on out, where you're not guaranteed as a top seed, or maybe the five seed, the top seed that has to play in the first round, you're not guaranteed to have the easiest path in. So there are some things that could have been done. I think having Boise State and Arizona State playing in the first round, as opposed to whoever you want to look at as being the third and fourth best team in there. You could have had some better matchups potentially in there, but I think this is just kind of all part of what happens in sports. Sometimes you have blowouts, sometimes things don't go the way you'd like them to go, and it was a very non-compelling first round of the college football playoff.
All right, so last thing, going back to Mizzou for a moment, they've got the quarterback transfer that was announced, last night.
Yeah, the Penn State guy, Bo Pribula, is that right? Okay.
What do we know about him?
He was the backup at Penn State, and he's supposedly one of the best quarterbacks in the transfer portal this year.
Awesome. So good luck to Mizzou next year. Matt Pauley, we appreciate it.
I like that name, though. Bo Pribula.
It's great.
I think I broke my Pribula when I fell.
Exactly.
All right. Matt, what do you got tonight? Anything?
Half hour sports open line leading into Monday night football.
Enjoy it.
Enjoy the potato bowl. Go potato. Go Spuds.
I don't think I'll talk to you guys before Christmas. So Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you and your family.
Yo, Pauly, your sister's with me. I'll call you back later. See ya.
Matt Pauly with us on the Quiver River Electric guest line. Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ronji, send us a voice message from the Odyssey app where you should be listening to this show live. It's Chris and Amy on KMOX.
Hey, Ronj, I just have quick bad news.
Yeah.
You missed the Union Home Mortgage Gasparilla Bowl.
Oh, damn it. When was that?
That was on December 20th. You also missed the Scooters Coffee Frisco Bowl. But that's okay, because you did not miss the Snoop Dogg Arizona Bowl presented by Gin and Juice.
I'm not going to miss
Dre
that one.
And Snoop.
Yeah, I'm not going to miss that one.
Yeah, that's December 28th.
There are too many bowl games.
There's a lot.
There really should be an elimination of most of these.
I love the Pop-Tarts Bowl.
Why?
Because I like Pop-Tarts.
They always do the big toaster thing.
Yeah, and it really toasts. The trophy actually toasts your Pop-Tarts.
I love it. I do love that one. That's a great gimmick. The only thing that you can do to make me interested in most of these side bowls that are not playoff games is to do something like that, or to have Snoop part of it.
Let's go potato bowl.
Or the potato bowl. Just a big bowl of potatoes.
Speaking of football.
Oh, I barely lost this past week in our no prize pick'em challenge. Barely lost.
Mean really, really close to not
very
losing.
Very close.
So close you almost couldn't tell.
With the tiebreaker, listener Dean won the no prize pick'em challenge on Friday, and good for him. He was a lot of fun, so he gets to come back this Friday. and be a part of the whole the whole production, because well, I would have won outright had I just not picked you know who.
No.
I just not picked those.
Why would you, Ronj?
I told you what I'm doing. At some point, I have to be right. There's no way they lose 11 games in a row. Actually, it is totally possible they lose 11 games in a row.
How
They've
fun
lost
is
nine.
That? That's fun,
it's
though.
It's not fun.
It's kind of fun.
Do you know what it's like to be rooting for a team that was 4-2 and everything looked great? It was, this was going to be, if you had said to me when they were 4-2, they had a bye week, so they had 2 weeks off. If you had said, all right, when they come back from this break, you know they're not going to win again. If you had told me that, I would have said there's a 1% chance that happens, and it looks like.
I get it. I get your pain, because the Cardinals haven't won the World Series since 2011, and I'm feeling really sad about it. I feel this is probably how you feel as a Bears fan.
They haven't won a championship since I was 7.
40 years?
Dude, it's awful. It's awful.
Well, I think 13 years in Cardinals years is 40 years in Bears years. I feel like we've suffered the same amount.
Yeah, it's very, very similar.
Yeah. I feel like...
At least we have the Cardinals to help me out a bit, because that Bears team just...
It's not going to be the White
joke.
Sox, I can tell you that.
Oh, come on.
Although it was
kind of
fun. That was fun.
What?
When they lost 112 games in a row.
Oh, what was the end? It was 122 losses, I think?
Incredible.
That's awesome.
And the fans booed when they won a game.
They sure did. Because when they were trying to break the record and they came back and won, the fans in the ballpark booed. Their own fans booed for them winning.
Yeah.
Amazing. Amy Marks scores, Chris Ronji. We will talk to Thane Rosenbaum, CBS legal analyst, about the Luigi Mangione trial, which, well, it's not a trial yet, but he was arraigned today. That and more coming up on the Chris and Amy Show.